So Am I. That was number 14, Walk with Jesus, Consumed by Fire. Now let's take a look at the authority of the believer and understand what we're trying to do here is tell you how you can overcome the enemy. There's no possible way I'm going to go over four or five different things to you. So, but I will do this if I can. Okay? All right? Somebody's out there, sounds like, yeah, Margaret's out there doing something or other, and I'm hearing it in my headphones. All right. Margaret's searching for things. Okay. I want to remind you of something, if I can. Let me remind you of this. You know, have you ever noticed this? That not a single time in the New Testament is the church ever told to pray that God the Father or Jesus would do anything against the devil. You know that? Just for your information, have you ever noticed that? Not one time. Not one time. The reason is because the church has the authority that we need to overcome the enemy. The church is not to pray to God the Father about the devil. The church is to exercise the authority that belongs to it. See, a lot of Christians don't know that. They're praying to God about the devil all the time. They need to take care of it themselves. The New Testament believers did something about the devil. And the least member of the body of Christ has just as much power over the devil than anybody else. You know that? And unless believers do something about the devil, nothing will be done. That's why nothing is being done. That's right. That's right. Now, when you look at this, you look what the Word of God says, that we know the next thing Jesus is going to do about the devil is in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 3, when he throws him into the bottomless pit. It's exactly right. That's the last thing, the next thing the enemy is going to do about the devil. And that's shocking, isn't it? But it's true. Next thing Jesus will do about the devil is throw him into the bottomless pit, Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3. You see, remember this. When Jesus arose from the dead, all power and authority was given unto him in heaven and on his earth. That's Matthew 28, 19. We know the word power means authority. And it's delegated authority. See, and the head cannot exercise any authority anywhere except through the body. It's the body that exercises. Now, in Mark chapter 18, 15 through 18 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We do very good at that. 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. We do good at that too. Here's where we get into trouble. 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. You believe? If you do, then these signs shall follow you. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. You believer? 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, notice the very first sign that's mentioned. It's believer, not pastor, not evangelist, the believers. These are signs for believers. What are these signs of believers? Casting out devils. That means in the name of the Lord, they should be able to cast out the devil with the authority that God has given us. Remember Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Notice power and authority. The verse can read that the Father has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. So we've been originally, by this passage, been delivered from the enemy and have authority over him. And that's what we should do. Now, here's something, though, that the teaching of this needs to be cleared up. That we know the authority of the enemy, devil, is in the life of the believer. And the lives of his immediate family. And that's where it really has its activation. You can get authority over your own household. Yes. You can have that authority over your children. Yes. That household. But here's the thing. That individuals themselves have to operate in the authority. James 4:7, resist the devil who flee from you. Or be subject to the authority you have. The believer has authority over the enemy. See, notice that we don't pray that Jesus lays hands on the sick. We do it. Wow, huh? Whether you feel like it or not, bad day or good, going through difficult days, authority has nothing to do with your feelings. Nothing at all. I don't feel good today, okay? Still have authority over the enemy. Things aren't going well, a lot of things in my life, okay? You still have the authority over the enemy. We know what is written, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. So we know who our opponent is. The adversary is our opponent. But what are we going to do about him? Hope he'll just go away? Go away, just kind of like disappear? That's why it says resist him steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, that's tests and trials, are accompanied by you brethren. American Standard, your faith, his faith, right. Now look at this. Now, he told us something about the devil. Question. Why would Simon Peter tell us something to do something if we weren't able to do it? Or you can no longer do it because it's a different day and time. Why would he do that? See, a lot of Christians believe that. Well, when the disciples died and when the Word of God was complete and, you know, John was eventually, he went back to, you know, heaven and he went to heaven and so on and so forth and disciples were gone and that wraps it up. Let's put a big bow on this. That's no longer valid. It's complete. So why did he say that? Why did they say that? See, we have that authority over the enemy. Now, let me just explain something to you. Person just got saved yesterday. Totally new Christians. I heard Jamie speaking about the maturity of the Christians. Very good. And he talks about the baby walking and talking and growing up and growing. It's great. I was listening. Hope you're listening to Jamie too. But here is what happens. Many people want to still be babies. Now, we want to help those that cannot help themselves because of the very fact that a baby cannot function without help. And we understand that. So what happens is that as the baby grows physically, you support them. Food, clothes, direction, etc. But it comes a time when the baby grows up and they're able to do some of these things. That's right, Jamie. Jamie is listening and he's going, true. Of course it's true, Jamie, or wouldn't be saying it. So what happens is that Christians remain in the baby development stage. And they rely on somebody else to cast the devil out, to get things in their lives. Okay, that's all right. As a pastor, I do that all the time to baby Christians. Christians just born, they're about 1 year old, they don't know as much as others, so we help them along, right? And the problem with that is this. They rely on somebody else all the time and never grow up. That's the problem in the body of Christ. We never grow up. We'll just call Elder so-and-so. We'll call Jamie Hernandez and he'll run over here and cast the devil out of us. See, that's what they think. And after a while, they got to do what? Begin to function. And that's where the authority comes in. See, you read the passage. The adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who may devour. So we don't do anything about it, and the devil eats them up. He just eats them for lunch. Now, see, Jesus was a witness to that authority we have. James was a witness to that authority we have. Peter was a witness to the authority we had. Paul, we have a witness as the authority we have. And if we don't do anything about it, nothing is going to be done, period. That's why in many times, nothing is done. When you understand these things, what's happened? Are you ready? Buckle your seatbelt. We permit them to happen. Hope that seatbelt's very tight. Not knowing authority, not knowing what to do, not knowing what we can do, we allow it. It's like allowing all the roaches in your house. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says, and put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things, the church. The feet are members of the body. Feet are members of the head. See, and that's what happens. So if all things are under his feet, the devil should be under ours. Again, Jesus in Luke 10, 19. He says that to 70 disciples and to all of us. Here's what it says. Behold, I give you the power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. How much authority over the devil does the church have? Any less than what he just said? Any less than what we just read? No. So, the devil fools us into believing that we are under his feet and not over him. That he is bigger than our problem, our difficulty, our trial, our trouble, our tribulation. He's larger, bigger, stronger. And that he's a great big enemy. That's what he is. A great gigantic enemy against us. Massive. Massive against us. Overwhelmingly large. So, and nothing we can do about it. Well, there's nothing I can do about this. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Sure. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more shall they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one Jesus Christ. The Amplified Version says we shall reign as kings in life through one, Jesus Christ the Messiah, the anointed one. Now, how are we supposed to function in this life? How are we going to do that? See, we wander around like beggars because we're beggars, right? I'm just begging. I act like a beggar. You know, Lord, I'm just begging on this life. Romans 8, 17, but we're children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Is that begging? Is that begging? Joint heirs with God? Joint heirs with Jesus? Doesn't sound like a beggar to me, does it? That's why, hear that again. Oh, well, I can just make it in now. If I can just get on the last train out of here and just barely make it in and just squeeze by and crawl my hands and knees and barely get there and just kind of squeeze in, maybe in the shadows here. No. No. You know, You sing that song, we wandering like a beggar, and we shed a few tears, and you know, and getting blessed. I'm just a beggar down here. No, you know. Let me tell you one more thing. There's a difference between humility and poverty. See, a lot of Christians equate humility with poverty. You know, that's not the way it goes. It's how they lived back then and how we live today. Well, they didn't drive a car. They didn't have a car. You know, Jesus came in on the best mode of transportation of the day, a back of a donkey. You know that? He rode a donkey. Extremely valuable. He even took a boat. Uh-oh, now I'm really getting in trouble. Let me tell you something. It's about 70 miles from Jerusalem up to the lake. You read one day he's in the lake. The next day he's in Jerusalem. How did he travel those 70 miles? And the next day, and the next day, and it came to pass the next day. How did he get from Capernaum to Jerusalem overnight? 70 miles of desert. You ever think about that? Well, they walked. Really? Can you walk 70 miles? Start now. And 8 hours from now, see if you walk 70 miles. Know how they got from up there, down there, and from down there, up there, by boat. Uh-huh. There was a town, it's actually named Ferry, F-E-R-Y. That's where the ferry would come in, up and down the Jordan River. They had boats back then, you know? You know, they had boats back then. They got on the boat and would be ferried down or up river so they can be there the next day. You see, the believers have allowed the devil to cheat them out of every blessing they would enjoy. Don't let him cheat you. Understand? Understand?